Lord, we thank you for this day. This is the day that you have made, Lord, and we rejoice and we are glad in it. Father, I thank you for all the children and the kids downstairs and those that are helping. We ask that you would bless them, cover them, protect them. Everyone that is here this morning, Lord, we thank you that we can gather in your name. We thank you for your promises, Lord, that when two or more are gathered, you are here, you are working in our midst. I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would move, convict us, motivate us, that, Father, we would be encouraged for the hope that we have in you. So, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this opportunity to bring your word. I ask that you would guard my lips, articulate what you want to have said today through your word, and we just give it to you. And we are here to worship you today. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. If you would turn with me to John. We finished the book of Romans, so if I was going to ask a group one of these sections, what are some of the main key points that you learned in the book of Romans? What's that? Say it again.
Respect your authority.
Respect, okay. What else from Romans? Everyone's drawing a blank. Love one another. Amen. How will they know we are his disciples?
By the fruit.
By our fruit and by our love for one another, right? No. Does love mean that you have to always like somebody?
No.
But we are to love people, right? So what else did we take from Romans? This section. That's, God is righteous. So we don't need to go through Romans again, right? So in preparing for this week's message, I like to go chapter by chapter, verse by verse, but sometimes I think it's important to look at the context of a word or words as it goes throughout Scripture. And all week, what's been on my heart is light and darkness, the difference, right? Now, what is darkness associated with always in Scripture? Evil, right? Ignorance could be underneath that. No hope, depression, all of these things could be underneath darkness, right? Evil ways, sensuality, sin. And we know that God is light, right? And in him there is no darkness at all. And it's important because I don't know about you, but if you get used to the dark, eventually, how many of you, when you turn the lights out, it's completely pitched black, right? You can't see anything. But in a few moments, your eyes begin to adjust. And you see sometimes just enough, but it's dim, right? You get accustomed to the darkness, right? You begin to adapt, and I think in the world today it's the same way. Even as professing Christians, there's many of us that will profess to know Christ, but yet there's parts of our life where we're not letting the light in. And we become accustomed to what we see, this darkness, we get used to it. And then we, in the midst of it, we don't even, I think, sometimes realize that we really can't see that well. It's the same thing with sin. It's a desensitizing, right? It's like a callus. When our hearts become desensitized, right? When you remove the nerves, if you will, of our heart, or even as in your hand, when you get calluses, it's to build up so you don't feel the pain. It's the same thing that we do with our heart in our relationships and the things that we go through in life. Most likely, in fact, 100%, no matter who you are, as we go through this life, the ups and downs, we will get hardened, right? We become hard in our hearts. We're no longer sensitive. And so as Christians, we are called to a higher standard. We are called to be a light in a world that is progressively dark. The Bible says the world lies in the wicked one. That means every facet of it, apart from Christ, it doesn't matter the good deeds, it doesn't matter if it's a good thing, all of it, you could do a lot of good things, but it doesn't mean anything if it is not founded in the light of Jesus Christ. And what I mean by that is, for us to continue as Christians, to grow in Christ, to not become complacent, to actually have fruit in our life, We must abide in him. And not only that, we need to be changing. You need to see changes. You should be able to look and go, you know what? I'm not the way I was 3 months ago. And little progress in our life, the more we yield, the more we grow, the more we can see, the more we can hear and understand. And I'll tell you this, there's a lot of things that want our attention. A lot of things. And what happens is when we have ourselves and we're being spread thin and we're all over the place, the big thing, the most important thing, our walk with God and relationship just becomes something like everything else, something we compartmentalize and say, hey, well, I'm going to go do this, I did that, I can write it off my list. Being a Christian is not something you write off a list, it's who you are. It's who you are in every facet of your life. And so I want to encourage you, because we need to be a light in this world. You need to be a light to survive. You need to be in tune with the Lord. But this world, the people that are living in darkness, they need to know the truth. And the truth is light in Jesus Christ. Amen? So in John, let's look at it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Also in that translation of understood, it has not overcome it. The darkness cannot overcome the light. It also cannot comprehend it. It cannot understand. Those that are living in darkness cannot understand the light or the truth unless Jesus or God draws them to it. We as Christians get to participate in that by either watering, being an example of Christ, you know, planting seeds, or maybe you're the one that gets to help them understand and actually lead them into the salvation prayer, if that's it, to tell them, hey, you need to accept Jesus in your life. You need to recognize that you're a sinner. Those are the three things that we get to participate in, and the other would be prayer, praying for that. But that is what we are called to do. It's the most important thing that you can do in this life is to share the life of Christ with someone else. And I believe 100%, and I've said it 100 times, your actions do that more than your words. Preaching is important. Sharing in the word is important, but they're not going to give you a platform unless you actually show them what you believe in. Show them who you cling to when you're scared or afraid. Show them who you call upon in your moment of need. Show them who's helped restore your life so they could see that, yes, this can happen to me too. Show them the person of God that you know. Show them that you know him. It's hard to talk about someone we don't know, right? And so when we look at this, we're going to just cover a few things because it's important. So the light that shines in darkness, but the darkness could not comprehend it. Now turn with me to John, just a chapter over, John chapter 3. And I hope everyone has this memorized. John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God, one and only Son." This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of the light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives in the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. Think about that. A lot of people think, well, God just wants to condemn me. Or if I go to church, I feel like people are condemning and judging me. We've all heard that before, right? People think, oh, well, people are going to judge me if I go there. They have the wrong understanding of Christ. Yeah, there's judgment. But they leave out the most important part, that Jesus Christ came so that we may be restored in a right relationship with him. And they don't see that because the enemy wants to continually blind their eyes. And even though they get used to that blindness and the darkness, a part of them loves the uniformity. They love how simple it is, and they'd rather stay there. They'd rather love their life than walk in the truth. And why do you think that is? Because of the shame of the sin in our life, or things that we're afraid to admit, that we have weakness. There's some people, believe it or not, who think they don't have any sin at all. They think that they are God's perfect person. Everyone else is the problem. That is probably one of the most dangerous people around, that can't do a real honest self-evaluation and recognize that they are not as perfect as they think they are, and actually take responsibility for everything that they, the things that they blame others for, really know that, hey, a lot of that is their own doing. People like that, you got to pray for, because you know what? You can't change their mind. You know, that kind of thinking, that dark thinking that just gets to where it's always someone else's problem, it's always someone else's fault, zero responsibility, that's an unteachable person. And I'll tell you, that's dangerous. Amen? We don't want to be that way. So as we look at John chapter 3, when it says, in the verdict that light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of the light, mainly because their deeds were evil. See, the problem is when we participate in things in the world that are dark, and let's give me some ideas of what darkness is in this particular case. This group. Television. Say that again? Television can be dark, sure, absolutely. You know, I talk about news and negativity all the time. Music. Oh. Some music. When I would go through a breakup in high school, there were certain songs that I would listen to. Certain songs that made me drive fast. Certain songs that didn't make me think about consequences for my actions. Oh, I could get my emotions, just like wrap them up, you know, get them up there, right? Oh. You get in a trouble, a situation, there's certain music I could listen to that would make me want to fight, make me feel like I'm Braveheart. All these thoughts. I mean, seriously, I can control my emotions by what I listen to. And I would feed it, even though I knew it wasn't healthy. I'm probably the only one in here that's ever done that. Right? But I'm being honest. I have. It's like, I'm angry. Let's listen to some Metallica 1. Right? I can go through, oh, let's listen to some Pantera. I can listen to all this stuff, and I'm welcoming that attitude and that spirit, if you will, into my life by participating in it. Does that make sense? You know it's wrong. We know it's wrong. We're like, well, I'll walk the fence just one more time. The truth is, we need light in every part. And I would be a liar if I said, there's things God's working on me in. And I'm like, well, I thought, you know, I would, you know, kind of arrive. No, it's a continual process. That's a sanctification of the Holy Spirit in your life. When you give your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit begins to work on you, give you a different perspective, a different view. And the whole time, your flesh and the enemy is going to fight against those views and those perspectives, and make you look more for yourself, what's best for your feelings, and everything else instead of what God would have you to do, right? And then we'll just, you don't have to, we could deceive ourselves. We do it when we purchase things we know we shouldn't. All kinds of ways we deceive ourselves. Justification is the first sign that maybe you're trying to deceive yourself. If you have to justify something, then maybe it's not right for you. Now, I'm saying these things because I believe we live in a time that is progressively getting darker, right? In fact, it wasn't just this time. If we were to really even just look at it in the past, the prophet Isaiah said it really clear. You tell me if this rings for today. Isaiah chapter 5, verses 20, it says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That's the way the society is now. It's like, hey, for us to progress in this world, it's just a free-for-all. It's however you feel. Don't let anyone hold you back from being true to yourself. Would you, isn't that? And we have a lot of songs we can listen to that really promote that, right? And I understand because, you know, we want to make sure that we're taken care of. So we got to look out for ourselves. I'll tell you this, most of the time we look out for ourselves quite a bit more than we actually realize. And the truth is, trusting God, he gives you wisdom. Yeah, you got to do some things. But it's when you constantly put yourself or your hurt and your pain above everybody else that you become blind, complacent, unteachable, and you're not going to be able to see or experience God in something because you're being too self-centered. Does that sound harsh? It's the truth. There's people that say, well, I don't know. There's people in this building. There's people on this side that have never met people on this side, and I'm not judging. There's people here that have never met people over here. Now, I can see everyone, so I'm up here, so I can see all the different people. But there's people over here that you have something specifically God has worked in your life that I guarantee you someone over there needs to be encouraged with, or vice versa. That's the body of Christ. That's the unity of the fellowship. In the Bible, there's a word called koinonia. It means fellowship in the Greek, but it means something more than just hanging out. It means a depth of relationship that comes from knowing God, and in that, we know each other in a way. Does that make sense? Have you ever met someone that's a Christian that you might have never met, and you start talking, and you feel like you've known them your whole life? Because that is the Holy Spirit working, cultivating true relationships. The enemy always hates that. That's why there's all these divisions and things. But most divisions will always come down to selfishness, someone putting their needs above everybody else's. Someone, like I said, only has tunnel vision, what God is telling them to do. Guess what? If God's only telling you, maybe he's not telling you at all. Because it says in the mouth of two or more witnesses, every word is established. So if God's telling you, God told me this, I always go, okay, how do you know that? Did you feel it? Now, God could tell us, he gives us clearly in his word what we are to do. But I mean talking out, well, God wants me to do this. Does he? You should be able to sit back and act. If you're the only one seeing it and hearing it, you might want to question whether it's the Lord speaking to you or your own desires. Right? So as we said, this is the verdict. These are the things that have taken place. Now turn with me, if you will, to 1 John chapter 1. And it says, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. This is 1 John chapter 1, verses 5. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from every sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word has no place in our lives. Think about that. If we confess our sins, there's a great promise. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. What part do we do? Well, why do I need to say it? You're acknowledging it for what it is. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, amen? And when you speak the truth, Lord, I forgive me for this unforgiveness that I've had in my heart. I confess it to you for what it is. This hate that I've held in my heart and tried to justify, Lord, I confess that sin before you. If you say, Lord, not letting go our resentment, Lord, I'm coveting, I'm jealous, I'm angry, Whatever it is, you confess that for what it is. Lord, I give you this. Help me get through it. I confess this is the sin that it is. People go, well, I don't understand why we need to do that. And some people go, well, I did that. I feel like I'm a hypocrite. You keep confessing. You bringing it. And you get in the Word, and then you will start changing the way that you live. See, the problem is we confess, but we don't stay in the Word. You might confess something and go, why isn't it working? Because you're not filling yourself with the things that empowers you to do a better job at your life. You're not filling yourself with the Word. You're filling yourself with other things, right? Why do you think it's so hard? Because the Word of God is living and active. It gives us reproof, correction. It guides, it directs us when we look at it. But to confess your sins, and then it says also in James what? If we have a big issue, say it's something that you can't break away from on your own. We're not talking like, oh, I sped a little today. We're talking addiction. We're talking lustful thoughts, adulterous type things. Things that go in and now start to not just affect you as a person, but they are going to affect your family as a whole and affect everything around you. It says, confess your sins one to another, right? Why do you think that is? Why is it important? Accountability. There it is. Accountability. Now, you don't just pick random people. You pick the right people God's put in your life. You say, brother, I am struggling with this. I need to be freed from this, and I need you to pray over me. A lot of people don't think that there's power in that because they've never even done it, for one. Or two, they're like, well, it's a personal thing between me and God. Yeah, sin affects the whole camp, right? Your bitterness eventually comes out and affects others' opinions on people they've never met. Would you agree? I'm speaking to myself. I'm not picking on anyone here, right? I've seen myself grow in a lot of ways, and the Lord says, yeah, but you're not done. I want to keep working on you. Will you stay in refiner's fire? Will you let me purify? Stay still and wait upon me so that I can do this work in you and through you? Ministries fall in the world today and everything else because there's no accountability. Accountability is what protects us and keeps us on the right path, right? And us being in the Word. It says, how may a young man keep his way pure? By meditating upon the Lord's Word, how much? Day and night. And you know what meditation means in that translation, right? Do you remember it? What meditation means? It's like, you know, as a cow eats the grass and it throws it, swallows it and throws it back up, kind of like that. It's a bringing the Word to your mind and your attention over and over again. When you study the words, if you read Proverbs, one proverb a day, there's 31, I guarantee you, if you apply it, you will be a wiser person. You have the wisest person probably in the entire world who put that together, and the Lord orchestrated, divinely inspired, so that you can have answers for every situation, from finances, relationships, to jobs, to building. All of it's in there on how you can live by just applying those things, right? So if we walk in the light, so walking in the light is important to staying and having true fellowship, amen? Now in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses, wrote over the number here, verses 8, it says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. How do you think that applies today? Is there people that curse Christians because they see the bad examples of Christians? Yeah, the televangelists that sow your $1,000 seed, give me all your money. And then we'll pray for you, right? Those things that don't show the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. It's all about promoting. It's all written in here, all that you were warned about, right? You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever had someone go, oh, they know a lot about the church, but they've never walked in one, right? Why do you think that is? Because there's something inside of them that they want to know there's truth, and the enemy's like, well, yeah, it's not there. Look at those people. And they don't understand. That's where we come in. We're to be the difference, right? People should see something different in how you handle the things in your life, mainly because you know Christ. If they're not seeing that, you got to ask yourself, how much of him do you possess in your life? How much of him do you really trust? Because we really don't know until we're pushed or pressed, right? We really don't know where we're at. We really don't. Pressing and growing together in adversity is when you really begin to see how much of Christ we have. And here we have a situation that we are called to be a light in the world. It says we don't cover it up. We're to be a light on a hill. That doesn't mean, hey, you're going to go beat people over the head with your Bible, but it means that part of your daily routine is, God, who do you have for me today that I can be kind to or show something to? Because in that, you will experience God in a profound way. It's in service. What does it say about a servant in the Bible? The greatest among you will what? Be your servant. What did Jesus teach us? He did it. God himself came down in the most humble way to show us how to live and to serve, even though people hated him, spit on him, rejected him, and he still loved them. Now, I don't know about you. I need Jesus to have love in Red Bluff. In California, I need a lot of Jesus to even function, right? Turn with me now over to, you guys still with me? 2 Peter. Be encouraged with this, church. 2 Peter 1, verses 3. Listen to this. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our acknowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. So what is that saying? Breaking it down. His divine nature has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Do you have enough in this to live this life? Right? He's given you everything you need for life and godliness through our knowledge. Now, this is more than just an intellectual knowledge. This is an experiential knowledge that you have in a relationship with God. And what is that experience? You trust him. He tells you to do something. You obey. You do it. You experience something that you didn't plan to do because the whole time your flesh was fighting you doing it. And you experience God. And now that token is inside you, a testimony of God working through you in your obedience. Right? Have you ever experienced that? I don't know about you. Do you always want to do the things that God might put on your heart to tell you to do? No. The enemy doesn't want you to do it. Even as this church and other churches grow, my prayer is that as they grow, that we understand, because I believe the church will be growing, and it's growing, not just our church, the church as a whole, because the people are seeing the darkness of the world, and they're like, I don't want it. And the church, for the most part, is a light. It is a light. And there are people that are drawn to it because they want change. And that is where we come in, and the enemy hates it. He's out to steal, kill, and destroy, and he's a liar, and he's a good one. He knows how to lie and deceive, and that's the problem with deception. You might think you're doing the right thing. That's why we must understand and know the word and know that who God says he is in this word and apply it to our life so that we can see error from truth. A good person that can see a counterfeit is because he's so familiar with the truth, he can just instantly tell that that's a counterfeit. Because he's been so familiar with the truth that he can tell the difference. He doesn't even have to touch it half the time. He knows by looking at it, something's off. And as Christians, that's how we are to live. That is how we are to live. Right? We are to know when something's off. Because of his precious promises that through him we may participate in his divine nature. Think about that promise. You can participate in the divine nature of God in this world and escape the corruption in the world caused by what? Evil desires. It goes more than lust. Lust is a big one because it's not always physical attraction or lust. It's lust of other things, the pride of life, wealth, success. What is success? What is it? More money? There's a lot of people that have a lot of money, and if you ask them, they're not very happy, right? My dad used to say, well, if I had that old boy's money, I'd do things my way. He'd sing that all the time. And it was a song, I don't even know which song it is. Maybe one of you guys know. But the truth is, it doesn't mean happiness. Some of you have prayed for things, God's given it to you, but yet you're still not happy. Happiness comes from being in tune. So we're not noisy and loud, but our spirit is in tune with God, and from that we're at peace because we know we're making that honest effort to walk with him. And from that, your encouragement will grow. Not only will your encouragement grow, he gives us the ability to see the world the way it is. When people act out and they get angry and they say things that are hurtful, they're not saying it to you. They're saying it sometimes to the Spirit of God that's working in you, and they don't like it. Some of you in here don't know. You're like, well, I just believe the Bible is great for principles and ethical living. That's good, but without the Spirit of God, you can't do any of it. If you don't know where the Spirit is in your life, or God in your life, you got to go, Lord, I need more of you. Help me experience. There's a fear over the years in church history, and one is we don't want to be emotional and ecstatic, right? I'm breaking the history down. It came from like, hey, we want to believe that God does stuff today, but we don't want to be crazy about it, right? We don't want to be like, you know, the people twirling flags and running all over the place. Just saying, not picking in on anyone. But that might be one example. Like, hey, there's freedom in that, and there's freedom in that. But we also know in Romans, what's one thing? We're not to cause anyone to stumble. We're also to do church in order. But the thing is, the difference is somewhere along the line, it's easier to become Sadducees and Pharisees and just take the word as the law and not listen to the Spirit. But the word says the Holy Spirit will guide you and lead you into all truth. Your relationship with God, when you accept Jesus in your life, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And then that's when that sanctification process begins to start taking place. It's not religion that gets you there. It's you submitting to God and allowing him to purify the things in your life. That's where the growth comes. If not, we just can say whatever we want. We can say we're Christians, hey, we're doing great, but deep down, there's a disconnect in your walk. There's a disconnect. And so let's just look at this here real quick. If you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 of them were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was on a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there will not be enough for us both and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some of your own yourselves. But while they were on their way to buy oil, the bridegroom arrived, and the virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet. and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or hour." Now, this is when Jesus is already talking about the day or hour, and this is a parable that he spoke so that you can have a deeper understanding. The virgins speak of purity, right? Speaking of purity and righteousness. That's what they're kind of pictured of in this story. But five of them were wise and five of them were foolish. Five of them were in constant preparation, awaiting. They were prepared. The other five were kind of like, it's taken a long time. I'm bored. I'll go along and go for the motions. I'll carry my lamp and bring just enough maybe oil in it. But when it really came down to it, they weren't prepared. And then they wanted to get it from somebody else. But see, the Holy Spirit is usually in reference to the oil. Even in here, it's speaking of like the Holy Spirit and the light. They didn't want, you can't take it from someone else. It comes down to what you've prepared for yourself. And the second coming in regards to the Lord coming, and that's what the bridegroom is. When Jesus comes to take his church, that's the picture that we have here. So it's a picture of that type of relationship, that type of union and communion. And from that, that's where we're supposed to know, are we prepared? Have we prepared ourselves? Or is there still areas in our life that we're complacent? And it's because we think the Lord has taken too long. Think about it. Well, how many years is to the Lord? What's the scripture in regards to how many years to the Lord? One day is 1,000 years. Now, I'm not, you math guys out there, don't get all into that, but think about it. In other words, what is that really telling us? Our timing is not God's timing, right? He's eternal. He's not bound by our even idea of time. God is all-knowing, creator of all things, and he is light, and he's called us to walk in that, in communion with him. And that right there, the oil, that's their personal cost. It costed these virgins something. It took something that cost them something. You couldn't go off someone else's coattails. It comes down to who you are and who you know. And I want to encourage you with that, because he's given us his divine nature to walk in a newness of life, because he's given us everything. And not only is it important for your well-being and your walk with God, it's important for those that you're around. And so when they know you're a Christian, they go, what? It's different. And you can look for those opportunities where you can share Christ with them. The most amazing things isn't how much you can fill your head with the Bible and knowledge in an intellectual sense. It's obeying what it says and experiencing God in the tangible things of life. Walking out and meeting the need is the first step. And I mean, God uses it. He uses it, and he will help you grow in your walk. Amen? Would you stand with me, please? Next week, we'll cover some other things as we go through the differences. I didn't get through some of it today. But in regards to why do people, some people walk and choose darkness. And that's speaking to the church primarily, as well as people outside in the world. We'll cover some of those things. But today, we talked about how God is light. And in him, there is no darkness at all. And he's called us to live a righteous life. And thank God he's given us the blood of Christ so that we can live a righteous life, be seen that way, changed. Because he knew that we couldn't do it on our own, he provided a way for us. And you know what? God does all kinds of wonderful things as we submit to him. He heals, he restores, he strengthens. He'll give you a new sense of hope. And I tell you right now, what can you hope in? What can you hope in? You can hope in God. His word is an anchor to your soul. Those words are picked for a reason, because it gives us a picture of the world and the chaos that we live in. That as we're blown all over the place in the struggles of life, that we can stay firm and stand in his truth and his word. He watches over his word to perform it, and we are the apple of his eye. Amen? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for everyone that is here. I thank you that you've given us your word. I pray that, Lord, it would be received and bring hope, because, Father, there's so many things we can get distracted with. Help us keep our mind and our eyes upon you. Help us give thanks in everything. It says, in all things, give thanks. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for this wonderful weather. We thank you for everything that you're doing in this building and the churches in this town that profess you, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, and for your goodness, and I ask that you would bless as we go through this day, that we would just be blessed in knowing that we are children of you, and that, Lord, you love us, and that you make a way for us. So, Father, I ask as we go this week, we would be sensitive to your spirit, that, Lord God, we would look for those divine appointments, and that, Lord, we would just learn a little more about your love and who you are. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. If you need prayer, we're here to pray for you. Go and be a blessing, and be in prayer for next week in the youth group, please.